Tonight, as we generally do on Wednesday night, before Thanksgiving, we're going to have a time of sharing testimonies in just a little bit. I'm going to just say an opening word. We'll read a psalm maybe here and say just a word before we get into having some of the young men come around with the microphones and give you a chance to share a blessing. And the only folks that cannot testify tonight is the people that have nothing to be thankful for, okay? And we'll leave you out. We'll clarify that. But otherwise, you try to get your turn if you can, as long as time will allow. Open your Bibles to the Psalms, please. Let's look at probably one of the most famous Psalms, and a short one, on Thanksgiving, which would be the 100th Psalm. And I know if you go through the Psalms, you find so many of them that are Thanksgiving Psalms. A great one, take a little long to go through it tonight, would be the 107th Psalm. I'd encourage you, that's a good one to read and meditate on, especially this time of year. And it shows people in trouble calling on the Lord and God blessing, and then next thing you know, they're in trouble again and they're calling him again. I believe it's about 4 or 5 times that one psalm says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness." And here in the 100th psalm says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness." There's a big difference in serving God and serving him with gladness. I mean, you're happy about it. Well, praise God, I can go to church, or praise God, I got to go to church. That's two different attitudes. And serve him with gladness, because you want to be there. That's a big difference. So, you know, if a husband or wife, if you treat the other one because it's your duty, or do you treat them because you want to, out of gladness? Big difference, brother, big difference. And this psalm here talks about serving the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people, his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know, I often say that before I got saved, I didn't know anything about the Bible, and I didn't. Somebody asked me probably what the first or last book was in the Bible. I'm sure I couldn't have told you Revelation was the last book. I might have been able to say Genesis is the first. But I did. I do forget sometime that in the third grade, right just a few blocks that way, in the old elementary building that's been torn down, the old brick building that's Clay Cut Center still up. They had one right across the street made out of brick, even older, I guess. And it's been torn down for many, many years. But there in the third grade, sitting in that third grade room, the teacher got up and led the whole class in memorizing the 100th Psalm. Can you imagine that in the public school today, huh? But we memorized it. Later on, after I got saved, started reading the Bible, I came across it and remembered. Now, it's something I didn't practice, so I didn't keep it alive through the years, but it came back to me. And I think about it, that's a good one. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. You know, it'd do us well to remember the first Thanksgiving, and I know we've had a couple of presidents, Washington and Lincoln, come by and make the announcements and make it official and all of that. I understand that. But that first Thanksgiving, what we would call the first official one, was Governor William Bradford at the end of a hard winter, unusually hard, after the Pilgrims had landed and after they'd just about starved to death and many of them had died from sickness and hardship. In all of that, he used a reverse principle, and I believe God led him to do that. And instead of looking on all they were hurting from and all their suffering and all they didn't have, he said, "Why don't we just show what we do have?" And so it was count your blessings in spite of the circumstances is basically the principle that he was using. And you know what? That still is the best way to do it. And the right way to do it, to bring glory to God. They'd had a hard time, but he was saying praise God anyhow. Now the modern school books today say they had a big feast to thank the Indians. Well, they probably were thanking the Indians. The Indians was part of it because they were on friendly terms. But at the same time, that was not it. They were thanking God. And do you know that when you and I do praise the Lord in the sense of thanking God, it is to him first, yes. But it also does us good to do it. Takes an act of our will to do it. And then it's also a help to others that know about it, hearers know about it. Anybody ever bless your soul by having a good attitude when they had every right in the world to be hurting and griping and complaining, but they praised God anyhow? That's a blessing to you when you get around somebody like that. And we joke about it a little bit and all that, but all of us, if we look, we make a choice which way we want to look at things. You can look at a rose bush or you can look at a thorn bush. It's a rose bush with thorns or is it a thorn bush with roses? Whichever way you want to look at it, see, is a cup full or half empty or half full? I mean, you know, understand. We can take an attitude. That attitude works back on us. Really does work back on us and helps us in the hard times. Their hardship started a long time before that first Thanksgiving. We were over, I don't know, Dr. Lee, you might have been there on the trip. Some of us went over to England several years ago. And some of the sites we saw, one place we went, what you'd call a little bit out in the country, and went into what you'd think just at a quick glimpse was just a normal farmer's red barn. But we went in for the reason that barn had been built out of the Mayflower timbers when the Mayflower ship got back to England. And here's the thing, folks, you could have set that barn right here in the middle of this auditorium. And yet they said there was more square footage in the barn than there was on the Mayflower. It was not a big ship. Memory-wise, I believe, I may be wrong, it was at 60 foot long or 100 foot long. If it was 100 foot long, that's not long. It's 100 foot from that wall to that wall. Now with 132 people on it? The cabin in the middle of it, 80 people slept in there at one time, and the ceiling was only 5 foot high from the floor. And it was rough. Seasickness, storms, crowded like that, cold, and because of the cold, they had on the heavy garments. And on that trip, many of them wore the same clothes, never had a clothes changing on that whole trip. They had fleas, bed bugs, all kind of infestation. Those people had it tough before they ever got to the shore. And I think about it, America's founding, boy, it took some character. It took some grit. It took some folks, though, looking to God, and in all that misery, they still stayed on the ship because of the Sabbath day, what they call the Sabbath day. It's been Sunday with us, first day of the week, but they would not disembark because that was the day to worship. Now, they're a little bit twisted on some of their hard rules, Puritan-wise, but showed the respect they had for God. Now, you talk about in that misery, I'd been the first one wanting to get off that boat, I think. Really. But that's kind of the beginning that we're talking about. And accent the positive a little bit. I, by nature, many of us are like me, by nature, I'm a pessimist. You understand that? I have to work to not be. And somebody every now and then jokes about preacher's got a sense of humor. Well, that helps keep me on the right side of things. Because you're not going to do any good on the other side. I'll tell you that. And so truth is, this is a good time for us to take an inventory and count our blessings, as we've been singing about tonight, and just be happy that we know how the trip turns out. You know what kept those pilgrims going? What they expected on the other end. That's right. What keeps us going? What we expect on the other end. Amen. I mean, no matter the discomfort of the journey, brother, the destination's going to be okay. Amen. I mean, heaven's our home. How much, what would it take to make you happy? Nothing in this world could make you happy if you knew heaven was not your home. Amen. What would you sell it for, that assurance for? No price on it. It's what Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, lose his own soul? Nothing tops the way the journey is going to end. I hope it ends with a trumpet. I hope we cheat the undertaker, but if we don't, it'll still be all right. It's going to be a glorious end.